Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
You know, new and trendy preachers, guys that are much cooler than me, they have a compilation of talks. And I've got a rant, man. I hate the devil. Will you join me in hating the devil today? Huh? All of his little minions, all of his little cohorts. Man, just expose him for who he is, the father of lies, the accuser of the brethren. Man, just, I'm so excited. You know, we're the church of the living God. Do you know that? Where is ecclesia? Where is ecclesia? We're his body on this earth, a local group of people that are called according to his purpose. Okay, write that down. Called according to his purpose. You might be here today and you're a doctor, a lawyer, an entrepreneur, a salesman, a welder, a nurse, a school teacher. Let me just tell you, that's some of what you do. Who you are is a child of the King. So you know what? Who you are, greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. Who you are is the head and not the tail. Who you are is above only and not beneath. Who you are, listen, you ready? You're the healed of the Lord. You're the redeemed of the Lord. See, what God does in our life is he redeems us. And let me tell you how quick that redemption is. Look, that's it. Redeemed. It's like, what? What just happened? Not, I don't feel any different. Doesn't seem any different. Man, what's going on? Listen, it's not by sight. It's by his spirit that he works that in our life. And it's like in this instant, it's like, oh my gosh, I'm brand new. But it doesn't feel like I'm new. See, so what happens is there's that redemption, but then there's the life that he gives us. Listen, causes restoration. And that restoration happens, listen, by us doing this, walking this out. Just walking this, following the Lordship of Jesus, following his promise, following his command. The things that bless him, bless me. Things that bother him, bother me. The things that he's dealing with, I'm dealing with. I choose today to follow him, no matter what. Here's where I am for the last, since June of 1979. Jesus, you go, I go. Man, there's times where I'll stop and be like, it's like, man, find the biggest person you can and tell them about my son. I'm like, no, I don't know anything. I had to stand in front of this huge biker at 35th and Memorial where there was a gas station, and I think now it's a payway. Bikers don't hang out at payways, I don't think. But they hang out at old gas stations. And I walk up, I'm carrying this big leather Kenneth Copeland Bible, no notes in it. The seal is barely broken. Every time I'd open it, the Bible would say, the word would speak to me, who are you? I knew nothing. I'm carrying this Bible and I'm thinking, I don't fit in. This isn't gonna work. I had to stand in front of that guy and just, it was so humbling. Huge, huge man. I said, he's sitting on this old knucklehead bike. And I said, had a helmet on with a spike on top of it. Huge beard, 400 plus pounds. Big, big, big man. Taller than me sitting on that bike. I said, I'm 22 years old. I said, excuse me, I was walking down the road carrying this Bible. I don't even know what's in this, okay? But I carried it. I don't know why. And I was walking and I stopped right there at the corner of that building. You may or may not. He never looked at me. He's looking straight ahead and I'm standing beside him. I said, I was standing right over there by the corner of that building. It looked odd because I was right next to that building. I felt odd. It's like, step back off the way from the building. You look like an idiot. That's what I'm thinking. I said, and I was standing there and God spoke to me. It's so funny. Because look at me, God didn't talk to guys like me, but he did. He told me to find the biggest, and you're a big man. You're huge. God told me to find the biggest person I could. Wow. So sorry about this, buddy. I mean, bikers all around me. Girl, women bikers that could have ripped my arm and beat off and beat me with it. I said, God told me to find the biggest person I could and tell him about his son. All I know is I don't know much of what's in this book because I'm brand new at this. All I know is that God loves you. And he gave his son Jesus to die for you. And somehow he wants you to have a good life and a right life with him. That's all I knew. So I just kind of stood there. He never looked at me. Big tears welled up in his eyes and started dripping into his beard. And he sobbed a little bit. I'm like, it's awkward. It's like, I didn't do it. That's what I wanted to tell everybody. I don't know what's going on, but. And everybody, all these other bikes fired up and left, and he sat there on this bike, looking straight ahead, tears flowing down his cheeks into his beard. He said, he said, 30 years ago, I left home. He said, my old man was a very mean Pentecostal preacher. So I left. My life is so wrong, I can't even explain it to you. He said, and you're the first person in 30 years that's mentioned the name of Jesus to me. And he stopped talking, and I didn't have anything else to say. I didn't know what else to say. I'm just holding this Bible, just thinking, whew, that worked out. I'll live to fight another day. But I'll tell you, it changed my life. We're the church. We're the ecclesia. We're the simple. Let me just tell you, we're thinking it's this flowery, you know, the global church. That's not what the Bible talks about when it talks about the church, the ecclesia, the ecclesia. What it's talking about is a local gathering of people. Dog-eared, rich, poor, young, old, smart, not, talented, not, all kinds of people, all colors, so diverse. Kind of like what that trophy represents right there. What do we do? We minister to God. Jesus is the answer for the world today. Without him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. And you might think, Shear, you suck. Stop singing. I'm ministering to God right now. I don't care what you think. See, we're here to minister to God. Do you understand what you've done up to this point since you walked into this room? Let me tell you why you ought to run into this room when we're gathered together as the church. Because we're going to minister to God. We're going to love on him. And that's ultimately, that's everything else is just, that's the title page. Everything else is just little chapters. We minister to God. We minister to believers. Help people get strong. Correct, reprove, edify people. And open up the word so that the world gets sifted out of people's lives and the word gets implanted and impregnates in people and grace is born in their lives. Man, that we minister to God, we minister to believers, we develop leaders. Man, the expectation of this house is whatever you do for a living is immaterial. Who you are is a leader in God's house, a son, a daughter. There's an expectation on sons and daughters in the house, and we're thinking about God's house. The world's expecting us to be who God's called us to be. We minister to the world. See, the world's broken. The world is in constant tribulation. But we carry a peace beyond our understanding. into the world that changes everything. Do you understand? This is alive now in us. As soon as God's word hits a living, breathing, born-again heart, it comes alive with power. I talked to a dear friend of mine, a man of God in my life, Jeff Perry, pastor of St. Louis Family Church in Chesterfield. He called me this morning. He's like, oh my gosh, that number is incredible. Because I texted him last night about 2 o'clock and I said, 7755. We just closed it. He said, that number's incredible. And then he began to tell me what God had put on his heart to preach at his church, a big church in St. Louis, an incredible church, because of the impact that you've had in his life by putting up that number. He said, the tools that God's given us, man, the power tools, man, we're born again. Do you know that makes us, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in us. Those are tools. But you know what he's also given us? He's also given us communion as believers. You know what else he's given us? The power of agreement. The key to my marriage, I'm just telling you. All the books you read, all the love languages you try to figure out, the key to your marriage is agreement. Where two is touching anything, agree. Bam! That's power. It's a power tool God's given us. It's like, oh my gosh, it starts messing with my flow. Man, he's preaching his message to me on the phone and I'm on my back deck drinking a cup of coffee and trying to eat a Think Thin protein bar and I'm thinking thin while he's talking to me and I'm eating this thing that's, and I'm washing it down. It's like eating chocolate sand and I'm drinking coffee and I'm listening. It's just messing with my message. I don't have any notes. That dadgum trophy messed with my message. Those are people. Those are people that you stood at the portal of hell and said, not today. Uh-uh. Not on my watch. Then I'm driving in here. Man, God puts a message in my heart for next week that I'm not even going to be the one to preach it. Man, the acceptable year of the Lord. You listening to me? The year of favor is coming upon your life. A year of incredible favor where God, his favor goes before you. His favor goes around you. You wear his favor around your neck. And I'm telling you, man, you walk in, it's like, oh my gosh, who is this guy? There's a power tool. There's a power source. And it's God's favor that's on his life. See, that's what happens to us. Well, it's because I've worked so hard. It's because I'm so talented. It's because I've really studied. It's because I've become an expert in my field. Yeah, all of that will get you worn out by the end of the day. What's going to put you over the top? Any guys want to know what's going to put you over the top? God's hand on your life, his favor. The favor of God on your life. And you wear it around your neck. It's a medallion that goes in. People are going, oh my gosh. He looks, you know what? Let me just tell you, this place is full of angelic hosts. Some of them are here on assignment to perform God's will. Most of them are here just trying to check it out. There's flesh and blood and failed days of my life and mistakes that are in my life. I'm the most mistake-ridden guy that's in this room. And here I am preaching, and I'm preaching God's word. So when the words come out of my mouth to the angelic host, it doesn't sound like a failed human being, a mistake-ridden human being. It sounds like God. See, that's what we have to understand. That's the power that we possess. What we say, listen, sounds like God. Man, that's why demons tremble when we proclaim his word, when we agree upon his word. See, that's how this works. And then we go to, if you have your Bibles, we go to Matthew 28. See, we're the church. We're on mission. And this is called the Great Commission. And Jesus assembled his 11 disciples. Not his 12. There was one that was plucked out. There was one that was about his own mission. Didn't work out well for him. Man, I'm reading that over the last month. I'm reading these verses, preparing my heart for this message. And that number 11 pops up. That number 11, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a fear of the Lord that comes upon my life. a newfound fear of the Lord. It's like, God, count me in one of the 11. God, I'm gonna keep my heart right. I'm gonna keep my eyes on you. I'm not going after my own ambitions or desires. God, I'm following Jesus. But Jesus took him to the mountain, that place of authority, where it's where you're seated right now, that he appointed for them. And he turns to him and he said, listen, fellas, all authority in heaven and earth has been given me. Think about that statement. All authority's been given me. And then he said this, and the purpose of that, he said, therefore, right? The purpose, what it's there for, this authority, what it's there for, is for you to go. So here they're standing there and it's like, go, yeah, go, go, go. Okay, I'm going. Go, now listen, and here's the marching orders. Here's this commission. It isn't to be a nice person. It isn't to, hey, go write a new worship album. Go study it and figure out a new series to preach. A new ministry to start. No, you know what he said? Let me just make this simple. Go and make disciples of all nations. It doesn't say people. It doesn't say onesies and twosies. It said all nations, all cultures. Let me tell you where the root word of that nations is, all races. See, what God loves is a diverse church, because every shade, skin shade, every color, every age, every size, all the socioeconomics in this room, you know what amounts to? Are people groups. You know what every person in this room represents? 60 people. There are 60 people in your friend group, your who you are. Jesus had his 70, so maybe you got 70. Maybe you're like Jesus. But the average person, it's 60 people. Man, let's go. And what's our responsibility to them? To make disciples. It's such an amazing concept and term. See, the world's perverted it. See, remember in Matthew, the 4th chapter, where Jesus came upon Simon Bar-Jonah. He said, okay, you're fishing, lay down your nets. He's like, what are you talking about? Yeah, you know what? I want you to get up, I want you to follow me. And they're like, what are you talking about? And then he said this, I'll make you fishers of men. And see, and we fixate on fishers of men. Here, what are you doing? I'm casting out the net. What are you doing? I'm casting out the net. What are you doing? I'm scrubbing my net. What are you doing? I'm folding up, I'm taking care of my net. Okay, fishers of men. Man, all these ministry, all these outreaches, all this stuff. But you know what? The key word that jumps out to me today is make. I'll make you a fisher of men. What did he say? What did he say? We go back up to Matthew 28. He said, and make disciples. And then I think about old mobsters and the term made men. Man, to be a made man, and the world perverted that. Man, they had to do something extraordinary. They had to follow command. They had to understand authority. They had to be obedient. Do you understand what God's gonna empower in your life is your obedience? It's simple obedience. The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. We're thinking that God's gonna grace our sacrifice. You know what most of your sacrifice is? It's social. That's what most of your sacrifice is. Most of your sacrifice is a little bit financial. Oh my gosh, they're not lopping off digits. See, we've got to understand, we've got to look at this. It's like God's called us to be made men and made women in his kingdom. We're doing something extraordinary. We're bringing captivity captive. We're not listening to our flesh anymore. We're not led by our old wounds and our old hurts and our old, listen, fears. No, there's so much fear in my past. Let me just tell you, no more. I got a future and a hope, good and not evil. That's what's in front of me. That's a vision for my life. And Jesus said, look, go and teach them and remind them. Teach and remind. Dear God, how many times have you heard this? Matt's sitting here, Matt's been in church all of his life. He's probably one of the most churched people I know. He rarely is gonna walk out of a service and go, oh my gosh, I've never heard that before. No, you know what these are? Reminders. Stay on track. Man, stand in the righteousness that Jesus won for you. Otherwise, you know what, a guy like Matt, he's going to be thinking, man, I deserve this. I earned this. Yeah, God, you better have your hand in my life. I've been in church all my life. I've tithed. I've been a giver. Man, I've served. I've done all that. I've done everything I'm doing. So God, let me just tell you, do not get in my way, man. Man, our flesh starts taking on that kind of attitude. But you know what we've got to do? We've got to put our flesh under. We've got to crucify our flesh. What did Paul say? Daily. When am I going to overcome my flesh today? What am I going to have to do tomorrow? Overcome my flesh? What am I have to do this afternoon? Overcome my flesh? See, that's the life of making a disciple, teaching them, reminding them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. See, we're not a people that this is a suggestion in our life. Do you understand God's healing in your body is a command that Jesus has given us to walk in health, to walk in dominion, to walk in prosperity, to have peace in your life, is a command that Jesus has given us. Hey, I'm suggesting healing for you. No, let me tell you what you are. You're a joint heir with me is what Jesus is saying. Jesus said, man, I'm looking for somebody that's gonna uphold the standard, listen, without arrogance, without pride, without any haughtiness of the King of Kings, of the Lord of Lords. But some doubted. Remember that? Some doubted. Because doubt's natural. Man, what's the enemy gonna do? The Bible says that the enemy comes immediately to steal the seed. Man, this seed is being sown into your heart so aggressively, so passionately, sometimes a little bit even violently, and it's driven into the core of your heart. What's the enemy gonna do? He can't get into your heart and burrow that seed out. You know what he could do? He could throw doubt at your way. And you receive that doubt. Now that doubt gets planted right next to that fear gets planted right next to that seed. And you know what? Now the seed of God and the seed of Satan are fighting for the root soil of your heart. Doubt's natural. We were born into it. I don't need a class on how to doubt. I need a reminder how to stand for God. I need a reminder that faith is the substance of what I hope for and the evidence of what I don't see. We're the church. We're the body of Christ. Think about that. Man, if I'm an ear, I'm not fighting to be an eye. I'm gonna listen. I'm gonna hear. I'm not gonna miss a thing. Man, if I'm a heel, I'm gonna make sure that, man, I'm like hinds feet. Man, no matter how treacherous a route that we walk or we maneuver, I'm not gonna stumble, I'm not gonna fall. We're members of his body. We're his church. We're on commission. He's given us a mission. My mission isn't to be some preacher guy. My mission is to be a child of the King. My mission, listen, is to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith I'm called. I'm not worthy. I just have to walk that way. I don't deserve it. I just have to go. Man, if I'm stationary, if I'm not looking forward, if I'm not running to the light of God's gospel, I'm gonna end up slowing down. I'm gonna end up wanting to take in all the scenery. I'm gonna end up stopping. And you know what? That light keeps moving. That future keeps moving. But I'm stationary. I become sedentary. I end up like this. Next thing you know, I'm looking back. Man, study the word of anybody that looked back. There's a pillar of salt in that. There's fire in that. There's enemy that consumes you in that. But I end up looking back, and the next thing you know, I'm walking like this, back into my past. Hunter, I don't want any part of my past. I don't want it. There's no glory in it. That glory's in front of me. Who I am in Christ. Who God's called me to be. Who God, listen, where God's called me to be. Who he's called me to be with. I'm in the body. And you know what a body produces? A trophy. A trophy of Christ's victory. A trophy of what Jesus won. A trophy of souls that may very well not go to hell now. I'll just tell you, that's a big day in the kingdom. Man, God's got vision for you. Without it, you perish. Without it, you cast off restraint. Without it, you go back to your past. I'm telling you, there's a land that flows with milk and honey. And our mission is to grab every lock, stock, and barrel, every person we can, and take them to this new land, a land that God swore to our fathers, that he's caused us, listen, and called us to possess that land. We have God's purpose in our lives. You get to God's purpose by serving. See, the two things that Paul describes this life as, he calls himself a servant, listen, and a slave. See, you're gonna be a servant. Remember Bob Dylan? You got to serve somebody. You're gonna serve fear. You're gonna serve discouragement. You're gonna serve loneliness, despair. You're gonna serve disillusionment. You're gonna serve unmet expectations, hurt. You're gonna serve wounds, abuse, or you're gonna serve God. And by serving God, you serve in his house. That's what Jesus is here to do. He said, I'm gonna build my house. I'm gonna build the church. The gates of Hades aren't keeping you out of God's promise. And they're not gonna stop you. See, you gotta serve somebody. You gotta serve something. I'm gonna serve God. You're gonna be a slave. You're gonna be a slave to sin? Or are you gonna be a slave to salvation? Salvation, listen, is you're rescued, you're restored, there's nothing missing, and there's nothing broken. More than enough. You know what? I'm gonna be a slave to more than enough. Anybody with me on that?
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.